Just let it run through our heads a few times. Beautifully, beautifully done. Thank you. Shirley and I led a tour on the footsteps of St. Paul. Visited some of the cities, Athens and Corinth and Thessalonica and Ephesus. And then we went to Philippi. Philippi was the first contact in Europe. And that's where Lydia was baptized. So we went to the river where Lydia was baptized, and we all reaffirmed our baptisms. We then had the Lord's Supper together. There were 35 of us in the group. And then we went over to the town part, and there was a replica of the jail that you heard about in the story. And that was the place that I can remember rereading the story again. The jailer. Maybe he was a warden. Just kind of an ordinary guy, gets up on an ordinary morning to do his job, has a little breakfast, maybe his wife made a little lunch for him, and then he went over to the jail, not very far, he didn't have to take his Camelback or anything like that, just walked over to the jail, and he was going into the jail where there were a few prisoners, the troublemakers, you know, the guys that are, they often were there. And it was just an ordinary day and just nothing really exciting happening until about mid-afternoon. And all of a sudden, the authorities brought in two foreign guys. And apparently these foreigners had interrupted somebody's business, had really cost them a lot of money. And they just beat them up. I mean, they really wailed on him. And so his job was then to put them into the inner prison to make absolutely sure that they did not escape. And so he put them in an inner cell, and he put them in stocks, and that was going to be it. But these guys were different. They weren't fighting. They weren't cussing. They were praying out loud. They were singing hymns. They were singing songs to God. And this went on all evening. And finally he went and settled down for his own sleep during the night. And then, very suddenly, an earthquake came. A big enough earthquake that it virtually shattered the jail, opened all the doors, released the prisoners, and so he, startled, gets up, it's all dark. And the first thing he does is he pulls out his sword. It's not a sword to go after the prisoners. It's a sword to kill himself. You see, Philippi was a Roman city, and Rome would never tolerate something like escape from prison without somebody paying the price. So he knew what would come. And so he's going to kill himself, and Paul says, no, wait a minute, we're all here. Nobody has left. Nobody has escaped. And so he gets lights, torches. They come in, they see everybody is there. Did you hear the first thing he asked them? The first thing he asks is, what must I do to be saved? By their testimony, by their singing, by their praying, by their actions, it was obvious they knew something more. They had a relationship that was greater. And he wants it. He wants it. And so Paul tells them, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. You know? And then he goes on when his whole family is there and he tells them the whole story of God. He tells them who God is and all that is to be known about God. And did you see their reaction, what they wanted to do? Immediately, they wanted to be baptized. They wanted to be connected with it. They wanted to receive what this really was. When you come to St. Luke's on Sunday mornings, or whenever you come, we share that message, that story of God. Only we share it in a couple of ways. One, we say a creed, usually the Apostles' Creed. How many of you are visual people? That's amazing. That's amazing. Because what we have done here is we have set up a way to share the creed visually. That window right there is a symbolic creed. That window has the entire message that you and I profess when we say the Apostles' Creed. And I want to show you how that fits together today. Because that's the story of God. Is he okay? He's okay. The Apostles' Creed that we say has three different parts. It's called three different articles. And the first article is shown in these orbs, the kind of orange orbs there, the purple, the pink there. There's another green one over there. And then there's some green leaves here on the right side. And then there are rocks down here. This is the first part of the creed. And we acknowledge this part of the creed. It's actually the first verse of the Bible. You know what it is? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so the first part, can you show it up there? The first part of our creed then says, and say it with me, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. That may be one of the most profound things that you'll ever say in your life. You said something that you probably, well, you can't grasp. Anybody else watch the Science Channel? Okay, there's two. That's good. You know, so far, so good. You know, have you ever watched the show How the Universe Works? Anybody else? One. Cool. Two. All right. Okay, go home and watch it. It's astronomers talking about the universe that we live in. And what we see of the universe, including Hubble telescope, everything, all of that, is no more than 5% of the universe. And we could account for billions and billions of constellations and stars and all of that stuff. 95% of the universe that God created, you and I can't see. Nobody can see because it's dark. And they're discovering black holes that are bigger than our entire universe. And what I love about the show is they're honest. And there are astronomers from all over the world that are giving communication in here. And basically, they're saying, we don't really understand. We're just, you know, if we go to the moon and Mars and stuff, that's not even an eighth of an inch. You know, we're not even beginning. And you and I sit down in a church and we say, we know the guy that made it. We know the guy that put this all together. The universe is much bigger. We could go the other way too and talk about the uniqueness of all of the intricacies of creation. We say at the beginning of the creed that God is the one who created the heavens and the earth. But then to go back to the window. The top of the window has a rainbow. And the rainbow is a symbol of a promise. And the greatest promise that God made is said, I'm not going to be staying far away from you. I'm going to come to you. And so the promise is fulfilled. Going down the left side of the window, you see the star, the Bethlehem star, The greatest promise was that God would be the Messiah, that he would come and he would redeem us. And so Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. He lived among us. He taught among us. He shared the truth of God with us. And then he paid the price for our separation from God. And the whole thing hinges on the huge cross that holds it all together. Because that's where Christ paid the price for my sin, for your sin. That's where Christ set us free. And to say, was it totally adequate? You have over here the open tomb, which is the symbol of the resurrection. The dark hole there is the tomb, and the shroud comes out from there. And so what we have is a very short outline of the heart of the gospel, and that is Jesus Christ. And so let's look at it here. Let's continue on together. And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and the third day he rose again from the dead and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. All that Christ has done for us is symbolized there, and it comes down as grace down the middle of the window, which is a waterfall. And this waterfall that comes down brings the mercy and the grace and the love of Christ, and it becomes reality right here. Right here in baptism. Baptism is no longer symbol. Now it's reality. I mean, I wanted this to come out of the base of the cross, and they couldn't do it. But maybe that's good because it's separate. Maybe it's good that you and I can understand, again, a sacrament, a mysterion, that in our baptism, God gives us life. God gives us his grace. God gives us his mercy. God becomes part of us by giving us his righteousness. And that's the reality. That's what we celebrate. And that changes not just us, but changes the whole church. And so, back to the creed again, in the third article. Go to the next one there. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So the story of God is what we need to not only continue to understand and grow in, but that's what we celebrate. And so we have it visually, we have it auditory. We seek to have the truth of God to be the center of our lives. Some of you know Bruce Swallow. Bruce Swallow, a little over a couple weeks ago, finished his introductory chapter to his story. I say his introductory chapter to his story. And on Saturday at 11 o'clock in the morning, we're going to say farewell to Bruce. You see, Bruce died. When Bruce died, he finished the introduction to his story. When Shirley and I were in Arizona last year, we saw a sign that I just loved. And it was a sign from Billy Graham, and it said, someday you're going to hear that Billy Graham has died. And it goes on, don't believe it, because he will be, at that moment, he will be more alive than he ever has been. You see, the story, our story, may start in baptism, it may start in somebody telling us the story of God. It's somehow that we become connected with God. But our story doesn't just go for this lifetime. God's story is eternal, and he makes our story eternal. And that's not just good thinking. That's not just wishful thinking. That's not Christians somehow not being able to deal with death. It's the truth of God. Listen, I want to share the words of Jesus. Jesus had a buddy. His name was Lazarus. And Lazarus dies. And Jesus doesn't show up to try and save Lazarus, but he comes 4 days later. When he comes 4 days later, Lazarus' sister, Martha, meets him. And this is what Jesus teaches her. Jesus said to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." That's not wishful thinking. That's the Son of God. That's God telling us a reality that is beyond what we can see. It's a truth that then we can live by. And so when we look at our own story and our connection with God's story, we can reflect. We can reflect on somebody sharing the gospel with us. We can reflect on those who have been instrumental in helping us grow in faith. We can reflect on our baptism. Some of us we can't because we're baptized as infants. But we can look back on that and we can see the hand of God. We can see God working in our lives. But we continue to live the story. You see, we're still writing the introductory chapter to our eternal story. You know, Paul wrote a letter later. The jailer wasn't the only one that became a Christian in Philippi. There was a congregation there. And he wrote the book of Philippians. That's to the Christians at Philippi. In that book, Paul writes in chapter 4, verse 13, he says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." What God is talking about, or what he's talking about, is that God can work in our lives. The God who created the world has not only the capacity, he's got the desire, he's got the love for us. And so our story then takes a whole new dimension because God is involved with us. But the other thing is, when he gives us his power, he doesn't quite kind of say, you can only do this and you can't do that. No, he gives us the freedom. We have not only the power of God, but we have the freedom to make decisions, to make choices. You chose to come to church. Well, maybe some of you didn't choose, but most of you chose to come to church this morning, you know. You make choices, and you get the opportunity now to make choices in your story. Today, at the end of today, your story will be different than it is in this moment. And you can grow in your story or you can shrink in your story. Your story is multidimensional. Sometimes when we as Christians talk about your faith story, we want to say that, well, that's just the spiritual part of your life, and then you have the secular. There ain't no such thing. It's all God. Your whole life is lived in a relationship with God. And you may say, well, that's my spiritual part, and this is my physical part. No, 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 no. It's all part. God gave us our physical life. And God gave us our physical being. It's you know, what you are is God's gift to you. What you become is your gift to God. You know, it's us developing, and so it's caring for our physical being. It's celebrating what we have, but then it's using our physical being. You know, intellectually, God gives us minds, and some of you have exceptional minds. It's developing those minds. It's using those minds. Emotionally, God gives us emotions, and he wants us to live joyful, healthy lives. Don't get caught up in the fear and in the hatred that's going on in the world. And spiritually, spiritually seek to grow in your relationship with God. And some ways, some of that is telling your story to other people. But other things is realizing that we walk with God every day. And God is the one who works in us and works through us. One other little piece I want to put in here yet. And that is that when you know that you're only working on the introduction, and you know you're going someplace, and you know there is life that is eternal, that it's way beyond our comprehension. But when you know you're going somewhere, it changes how you deal with the moment that you're living in. You don't have to be afraid of some of the things that can really get you wrapped up. But you can live celebrating the presence and the love of God. And you can do it in a hospital. You can do it in every facet and every situation of life. Because you see, your story is covered by God's story. And God is using your story to not only bless you, but as you share it, He's using it to bless other people around you as well. God wants you to live in hope and in joy. And that's why He created us, He redeemed us through the blood of the Son. And that's why the Holy Spirit inspires us. That's why the sacrament is there, you know, so you can experience it. That's why the inspired Word of God is laying on your table at home, that you can read it. I'm reading through all of the Gospels right now and studying the Gospels as I go. It's marvelous to see the teaching and the life of Jesus, you know, because it is our story. It's God working in our lives because His love is unconditional. Let's pray. Father, You created each one of us unique. Unique in the gifts that You've given to us, unique in how we look, unique in so many ways. And You were the one who then loved us, even that in our uniqueness we did not follow closely, that we could live in the joy and the hope that You want for us. And so You paid the price for that. And Holy Spirit, You call us, You talk to us, you encourage us every moment that we live. Help us, Lord, to have ears to hear and eyes to see. That as we celebrate our lives, our story, we are celebrating Your presence and Your power. And for that, we give You thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.